Welcome back to another edition of Inside Boxing Live, the best podcast in Alberta, Canada, home of Bret Hart. How are you, Chris Algieri, former 140-pound champion?
I'm good. That was a surprise little tidbit about our podcast. I didn't realize that we were so popular in Alberta, but
yeah, huge in Alberta. Whenever I hear of Alberta, Canada, it is the home place of Bret the Hitman Hart. This is not a wrestling podcast, but I was watching a reel today. Razor Ramon, remember him, Scott Hall?
I'm wearing his clothing.
You look like Razor Ramon right now. Razor Ramon did not become Razor Ramon until he was 35.
Wow.
So that's just a little bit of wisdom and inspiration out there for everyone struggling and they feel like they haven't made it yet. Razor Ramon wasn't Razor Ramon until he was 35.
So all you guys listening out there, you too can be a male misogynist, toothpick flicking pro wrestler.
Yeah, his main, that whole persona he had was supposed to be like a Miami, like kind of Scarface.
Uh-huh. Miami Cuban guy.
And then he lost that. Why's my dad trying to FaceTime me? Oh, come on, Dad. I'm trying to do Inside Boxing Live right now.
You know Razor Ramon? I feel like your dad probably met him.
My dad looked like Razor Ramon in the 80s. This show's off the rails already. Let's rein it in. Let's rein it in by telling you who this show is brought to you by, and that is the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Super Bowl week. Super Bowl 58, to be exact, is here. Chris doesn't care about the Super Bowl. I do. He'll probably bet on it, though. Looking for a super offer for Super Bowl 58, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered. New customers can bet on the big game. Turn $5 into $200 instantly in bonus bets. Go ahead, download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use code IBL. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets only on DraftKings Sportsbook, as the official sports betting partner of Super Bowl 58 with code IBL. Ronnie, can you get the stopwatch out? The crown is yours. Ready? 3, 2, 1. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER, or in West Virginia, visit www.1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. cdkng.com/football for eligibility and deposits. Restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. Wow, 38 seconds.
Nice.
That wasn't
bad. I told you were getting better at this.
I can read. I'm a prime Teofimo Lopez. That's how I read that. Prime 26-year-old Teofimo Lopez lungs. I got. No response?
No.
No sold me on that. No, so hard. No, that's the fight that we are discussing here. It is Teofimo Lopez versus Jermaine Ortiz Thursday night on ESPN. It is Lopez's WBO 140-pound title on the line, top rank, of course. And Chris, it's the Teofimo show. What are we going to get with this guy? You never know, because there's that notion going around that Teofimo only fights up to his opponent, is likely to go in there and fight down to his opponent. We've heard all that, but the main thing we'll start with is the Teofimo show coming off of that massive win over Josh Taylor, and he's going up against Jermaine Ortiz, who's jumping up to 140 for the first time in his career, who gave Lomachenko issues, who beat Jermell Herring. I like this fight. Fun fight on the Thursday night of Super Bowl week.
No, so this is an excellent fight, and it's not an easy touch for Teofimo. And if he fights to the level of his opponent, then we got a damn good fight, because Jermaine Ortiz can fight. And as long as Teofimo fights to the skill level of his opponent and not the perception of maybe the casual fans, then I think we're going to get a prime and excellent Teofimo Lopez. You know, they fought in the amateurs. I think they were in the finals of a national tournament together, and getting to the U.S. national finals is a big deal. So Jermaine Ortiz can fight. His nickname is the Technician for a reason. I think he's the bigger man in this matchup. Honestly, Jermaine's a big kid. He was big at 30. He was huge at 35. I don't know how he ever made 35. You saw that when he fought Lomachenko. He looked three weight classes bigger. And even now, when you see him at the weigh-ins together, Jermaine's taller. Jermaine is a very muscular kid. He looks even better now that he's moved up. So on fight night, I actually think Jermaine's going to be the bigger man. And skill wise, I think he's right there. Just Teofimo's just a different level of talent. He is next level. He's one of the best fighters in the world. So as long as he shows up knowing that the guy in front of him can really fight, then, you know, he'll go out there and do what he does.
I like how you say as long as he shows up, because that's like the caveat with Teofimo Lopez. It's like he looked all world against Josh Taylor in June, his last fight at Madison
Square Garden. And he looked great against Lomachenko.
Great
game plan.
Right, in 2020, but did not look good against Sandor Martin. Did not look good in some of his other fights at 140. Now, this is his third fight at 140. And this is the main thing for me. It's like, okay, Teofimo can only get up when the fight is big, right? This is all we hear. He needs to shed that notion, I think. I think he needs to replicate that Taylor performance from here on out. He's 26 years old. He is top 10 pound for pound. He's a star in the making. The Kambosos fight is well in his past and well in his rearview mirror. It's time for him to dominate. It's time for him to shed this whole storyline of, oh, he can only fight when the stage is bright and it's the biggest title. Our biggest titles are on the line. He's got to be consistent now, and he can't afford another slip up like he did against Sandor Martin. He can't afford another moment like that in his career if he really wants to get to where he thinks he's going to be in his own mind.
I mean, with Sandor, Sandor's a tough style, and Sandor's a lot better than people give him credit for. What I really look to is that Kambosos fight. You take Kambosos out of Teofimo Lopez's career, and now you're in the argument of, yeah, this guy's pound for pound, like, top three. Like, he's that damn good. With wins over Lomachenko and Taylor and the way that he did them, at the time that he did them, he's a stellar, stellar performer. But that Kambosos fight is such a mar, especially since that win, Kambosos has not looked good. Like, he hasn't looked good in any fight since then. Two losses to Devin Haney, where he barely won a round. Maxi Hughes, which is the most debatable win I've almost ever seen. And now coming up with the Lomachenko fight coming up, it's like, yeah. I mean, with that track record post Teofimo, it really hurts Teofimo's standing with that loss. And yeah, it was a close fight. He battled back. He almost got it at the end. He dropped Kambosos late, but it wasn't enough. And he fought a very undisciplined fight, had a very poor performance, got dropped early on. But the kid is just full of surprises, and you never know. And one of the things that's so enamoring about his style is that he's so unpredictable, but it's also the same issue with him outside of the ring. He's very unpredictable in terms of what he's going to say, what he's going to do next. He retired recently. He's back now. And he's doing a world tour in terms of interviews and saying some things that you're like, what? Okay. All right. Well, listen, dude, as long as you fight, as long as you go out there and fight the way you fight, people will tune in. But yeah, man, I'm excited about this fight. I think it's an excellent fight. When I first heard about it, I was like, ooh, that's a tough fight. Yeah, and Teofimo only fights tough guys.
Yeah. We'll get into Jermaine Ortiz in a second, but we're talking, we'll start with Teofimo, and it all goes into the sauce with Teofimo. Everything that you just said, like the out of the ring stuff. If you follow him on social media, he's constantly posting, all these wisdom things, and it's been a big time change since the Kambosos fight. It's been a big time change since the Lomachenko fight with him too, of kind of having this false sense of like what he is actually worth, pricing himself out of fights, not looking great in there at 140 at times. Obviously, the Kambosos fight. And then he backs it up with that unbelievable performance from Josh Taylor. This all goes into the salt. That's why I call it the Teofimo show. My main point is, when are we going to like get past that? I don't think he'll ever change outside of the ring, because I just think now he has like a persona. But when it comes to like inside of the ring, is like, I would like to see him have a dominant performance over a really tough opponent. That's two good performances in a row. And then, where that Kambosos fight is even further in the rearview mirror. And now we're just talking about, all right, Teofimo, legit top five guy, legit top 10 pound for pound guy. Biggest fights now ahead of him with Haney and Ryan Garcia or Tank or Subriel Matias. Like, are we ever going to get past Teofimo having to talk about this stuff before we get into his in the ring stuff? Or do we feel like you're a fighter? Like, is this going to be now part of the whole show?
Well, listen, in terms of what he does outside of the ring, I've been around fight weeks and fight when he's fighting, and on some of those top ranked shows we're building up, and it's mayhem. But
this one seems a little different, a little calmer.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he creates his own mayhem, but and I think he needs to do that. I think he's best. He's one of those guys who steps up in chaos. And so this fight's a little bit different. He doesn't have a lot of that. He's creating his own a little bit. But from what I've seen, the more chaotic his fight weeks are, the better he performs. The Lomachenko fight, I mean, some of those interviews that we were doing all week, and we did like a deep dive because it was in the bubble. So we had a lot of time with the fighters, and we made it a point to be around them a lot and talk to them a lot and interview them a lot. Mm-hmm. He was so up and down. Him and his father were getting into fights at fighter meetings. Yeah, it was wild. I remember being like, oh man, I don't know if this kid's mentally up for this fight. And then he goes out there and puts on a stellar, I mean, such a disciplined performance against one of the best fighters we've ever seen. I was so blown away that night. I was like, wow, that's the most definitive win over Lomachenko. The most definitive defeat of Lomachenko's career was against Teofimo that night. And like I said, that week was a disaster. It was wild. I was like, this kid's not going to make it to the fight. Mm-hmm. And then he goes out there and performs the way he does. So with him, you never know. I actually think he performs better when he's in a moment of chaos. He needs to be backed against the wall, which speaks to what you were saying earlier, Dan, about the fact that he fights to the level of his opposition. So when he's up against it and everyone's calling him out to lose, that's when he wins. The Taylor fight, I think they did like 23 pro analysts, and like all of them picked Taylor, myself included. You picked Tio.
Nice.
And then he goes out there and, I mean, puts on a lesson. Awesome. I mean, he beat Taylor pillar to post and was just on a different level that night. And Taylor's awesome. I have him at a very high regard. So that was super impressive. So it tends to be that when he has his back against the wall, he really steps up. But listen, a fighter's career arc changes. So he used to be the underdog fighting up the guys. Like when he fought Magdaleno, it's like, well, that's a big step up. Yep. And then he blows him out, right? So he was overperforming a lot early on because nobody really expected that much of it. But, you know, he was there and he kind of knew that, he heard that. Then he had the Nakatani fight, mm-hmm. and everyone was like,
you got hit with a lot of rights in that one.
He struggled in that fight quite a bit. And then Lomachenko blasted Nakatani and stopped him. But then he has the Richard Comey fight. And a lot of people are like, ooh, Comey's a very dangerous guy. Comey can really punch. Ices him in two rounds. I mean, with a picturesque, perfect highlight reel knockout. So yeah, it really just comes down to who's going to show up. Which version is it going to be? Is it going to be the guy who struggles with a Nakatani with a Sandor Martin? Or is it going to be the guy ices Richard Comey, a very dangerous lightweight contender, or the guy who puts on a virtuoso performance against a Lomachenko or beats up a bigger, stronger, in all intents and purposes, better, you know, Taylor? The question marks are why we're excited. I'm excited talking about it.
You answered my question. So we're not fully like separated from some of those past questionable performances, but we're also fully aware of what he's capable of doing. And I think after this fight,
I'm going to call this a Teofimo spectrum. You called it a sauce.
Yeah.
I call it a spectrum of performance because he can be amazing, next level power pound guy, or he can be almost mediocre.
I expect him to be locked in for this fight. I think he knows what's ahead of him. I think he's got the stink of Kambosos fight is worn off, and that the Taylor fight really, really revived his career. It's crazy to say because he's 26. He's not exactly young, but he's not exactly old either. Three fights at 140. He's throwing 42 punches around. He's laying 41% of his power. He's going to the body well. I think he's now settling in at 140. Like what I've seen from him. Let's go over to Jermaine Ortiz, live dog, I have written down. Plus 450, underdog, first fight at 140 pounds, big frame, comfortable now at 140, good opposition. He fought Lomachenko. We'll get to that in a second. He fought Jamel Herring. He's fought Joseph Adorno. Even the Albright fight was a tough one for Ortiz.
I'm glad you brought that up because now your Albright's tough.
Because that guy is tough. He's
he gave Keyshawn Davis hell in the last couple rounds.
Good measuring stick for anyone at 135. I guess we can go to the Lomachenko fight because that's what everyone kind of thinks of Ortiz in there.
Also, that Sagawa stoppage, that was a good win too for Ortiz. You really got to look past the numbers on him. Yeah. He's been in tough throughout.
Oh yeah, he's progressing perfectly in his career. It took him a little bit to get to this level, but
undefeated Joseph Adorno was. You got dropped two times, ended up getting a draw in that fight, but boxed really well.
Yeah, but I also saw some moments in that Adorno fight where Adorno was kind of walking him down, which I kind of can't get out of my mind.
Adorno's a big puncher, though, man, and he was very, very highly regarded. He's one of those guys who's underperformed, and he's run into some really, really tough guys. Adorno's another guy I think he's a lot better than people give him credit for. So I even rate that performance highly.
Yeah, let me look at – so the Lomachenko fight is the one that really stood out and put Jermaine Ortiz – on the map. He outworks, outthrows, outlands Lomachenko in power and total connects from round two on. And I think that was the first fight where you kind of saw an erosion a little bit in Lomachenko, where you started to answer those questions. Lomachenko heading into that fight with Jermaine Ortiz was coming off of the Richard Comey one-sided fight. That was in December. And then he took 10 months off to fight Ortiz. Wasn't that crazy of a layoff? I thought it was a longer layoff. But I thought Ortiz looked awesome against Lomachenko. And I think that he really pushed Lomachenko. And at that time, Lomachenko was looked at as still elite. I mean, obviously, he's now had a few losses. You can have your opinion of Lomachenko. It's all over the place. But that really was the fight that put Ortiz into the forefront of boxing fans' minds. He also just blew out Jermell Herring, outlanded him 90-26 in the final two rounds. That was against Herring. So got some good fights, man. Plus 450 underdog. I see some people on Twitter and social media like thinking that Jermaine Ortiz can pull off a huge upset. I don't see that, but I feel like this is a really, really good opponent for Lomachenko. Teofimo.
Can he get an upset? Yes, absolutely. If Teofimo isn't at his best, he can very well lose to Ortiz, which is why you see that line as close as it is. That's why you're going to see the chirping on X in terms of people saying like, oh, Jermaine Ortiz can win this fight. Very, very possible. I personally don't see it. I think Lopez understands what he has in front of him. He's given a lot of respect to Ortiz, and the fact that he's given respect in public probably means he respects him even more internally. Yeah. So
good,
he's going to go
good
out
point.
There.
I think he's
prepared himself well for this one.
Yeah, good point bringing up the respect, because Teofimo, it hasn't been that much trash talk. I think he really respects that amateur fight that they had and knew that this guy handled it the right way. Like Teofimo in the past might have just blown off his opponent and not have any respect him at all. I think he's been respectful towards Ortiz. Trying to look at the odds here. Let's take a look. Teofimo's obviously a huge favorite. Minus 700. The over-under is 10.5. Let's see. Teofimo by KO plus 175. I think he can stop him. Are you seeing a Teofimo like really good performance where he can just turn it on late and stop Jermaine Ortiz?
I don't see that. Jermaine, I think he's big enough. I think he's durable enough. I think that he's hungry enough for this opportunity. And I think at 140, it's actually going to aid him. I think he was a really big guy for 35. Even his last couple of fights, he'd be fighting at 37. The Moran fight, which was tougher than expected for a lot of people. We've had Antonio Moran on our ProBox TV air, and he's the winningest fighter in ProBox TV history, by the way, because he won our Last Chance tournament. We just had him fight the other night. He looked great, scored a brilliant knockout with a body shot. Very, very tough fighter. Very, very capable guy, Mexican guy, big, long, strong. But, I think that Ortiz is, like I said, durable enough, strong enough, hungry enough that he's going to see the end, even if he takes a battering late, which is very, very possible. Because Teofimo's, he's a rhythm guy, man. Once he finds his rhythm and he gets moving and going and flowing, he's a very, very tough guy to deal with, and he kind of figures you out, which is something, this is a whole nother caveat. When's Teofimo at his best? When he's active, right? He had that fight with Taylor. He actually was busy that year. He fought Sandor Martin like 4 or 5 months earlier, a couple months before that. He fought that Mexican fighter. I actually called that fight for Top Rank. And even that fight, it took him a little bit to get into rhythm. He wasn't looking great at 140. And then all of a sudden, he stops the guy. And then he comes back to the Sandor Martin fight. Obviously, was a really off night with a guy who was very, very difficult to deal with. And again, it comes down to rhythm. Sandor has a weird, offbeat, broken rhythm. So Tio really couldn't get into his groove that night. So this fight, the fact that he's been off for a while since the Taylor fight, how long is it going to take for Tio to find his rhythm? Because once he does, he's a nightmare. And I do believe he will find his rhythm with Jermaine. Jermaine's rhythm, he's not like a Sandor Martin, who's really difficult to figure out. He's good, and he's smooth, and he has great boxing ability. His nickname is Technician for a reason. But I think the fact that they spent the ring together, I think that he came up in a similar fashion to Tio, that eventually Tio is going to figure out that rhythm. It's just going to be, how long is that going to take? But I think, toward the end of the fight, I got Tio being, very dominant. But I still see Jermaine make it to the end.
Yeah, I'm going with Teofimo by stoppage. I think you find a virtuoso. I think he turned a light went off. A switch went off in that Taylor fight. And, yeah, I am a little worried.
I think Paulie said the same thing, actually. I think he called for
Me and Paulie on the same page. All right, I'm changing my pick.
I think he called for an Ortiz.
Changing my pick now. No. I'm sticking with it. I already sent it to DraftKings, my parlay. I think he finds a way to stop. I think something has switched here. I'm hoping he wins because I think it's good for boxing. Upset would be great, too, whatever. But I think if Teofimo wins, he can now get in the ring. and call out and be ready for some unifications, whether it's Subriel Matias, who I think is now signed with Matchroom, so kind of kiss that fight goodbye. Maybe something with the other champs, maybe Haney, maybe Ryan Garcia. Like, I think there's a big fight looming. Teofimo's been bringing up Terrence Crawford's name nonstop. I don't see that happening because now they're no longer at top rank together. Terrence Crawford is not looking in that direction. He's looking towards Canelo.
Crawford's eyeing Canelo or bust.
You got Canelo on your mind, and it's like almost makeable. Like, how do you not take your mind off that? How do you go to Teofimo, which is be a fun fight, but that's not the same. It's not the same. Yeah. So if Teofimo wins, I expect a bigger fight in June, summertime. That's the main event. It's Thursday night. It's a Super Bowl week. That kind of can go into the play here with Teofimo's got to feel like the showman. That's the whole branding for this fight is the showman. Make him feel important. It's important for Teofimo to feel that way. So maybe get some celebs, some athletes in the crowd. Feels like a big moment, even though it's a Thursday night. I don't see why that's a problem. Like, wouldn't you love to fight on a Thursday night ESPN at the Vegas? And it's like they used last time with Shakur. And this time it's Teofimo. Like, they're using ESPN is using these time slots for their biggest stars.
No, it's a good idea. I mean, it's you don't want to saturate the market now because there's so many streaming services hosting fights. We're seeing so much more boxing on TV now. You don't want to just jam everything at the same place, which is what boxing always used to do. They used to always go and go head to head. And you guys like me and you would be like, boxing, why are you doing that? Right. It's making it so difficult for us to tune into all these fights. But now Top Rank, who's usually ahead of the game in certain regards, is taking the opportunity to now put these fights on Thursday night, which I think is brilliant, and especially riding on a Super Bowl week. Very, very smart move by Top Rank. Listen, they know what they're doing. They've been around for a long time.
Really long time. The last one was Shakur Thursday night before the Grand Prix event. This time it's Teofimo before the Super Bowl. I like Thursday
that one didn't
night.
Work out great, though.
I mean, it could be a curse. It could be a curse. But I don't.
That was your course.
Yeah,
fault.
I don't think Teofimo is going to go in there and I didn't say run, stink it up. Co-main event. I like this fight. It is an intriguing fight. Keyshawn Davis versus Jose Pedraza. Davis is coming off the toughest fight of his young career versus Nahir Albright, who we just brought up. That was a majority decision win in which he was outlanded for the first time in his career. He had like a 55-round stretch of not being outlanded. The fight was changed to a no decision because in Texas, they're really strict about the weed.
That's so stupid.
He had the weed in his
system. Going on record right now. That is so stupid.
Right. There's more to that. So he gets they find the weed in his system, and they immediately change it to a no decision. They suspend him. The WBA removes him from their rankings. He was ranked 7th. Luckily, he's still ranked in the top 10 in all the other sanctioning bodies, so like he'll still get his title shot if he keeps progressing. But like, you went more into this, and Davis talked about, I had mental health issues my whole life. I've been on medication for mental health my whole life. Weed was helping me. But then he also said, I've now quit. I was addicted to marijuana, said Keyshawn Davis. I quit. I'm a better man because of it. Everyone notices I have more energy. I have more this, that, and the other. I'm actually like taking that into my pick for this fight. I feel like Keyshawn is a new man now, off the weed.
That's your take.
What's your take?
That's not my take.
What's your take? We give takes on this show.
This is playing the PR.
The weed.
Dude, stop. You know how many athletes I know? You know how many fighters I know for long stretches of my career that have been using the wacky weed throughout their entire career? It's not a performing enhancing drug. They should not have taken that off his record. Right. I think all the press that he's doing for that is by design.
It's because he's a young fighter and like the jury's still out on him in some ways. He had a bad performance. He doesn't have like the reputation of, say, like a veteran who can be like, yeah, I smoke weed in between fights, but they have their whole career to speak for it. Do you think that's why he's taking this stance, or is he legitimately like feel better that he's off weed?
No, it's because he got caught. let's be honest. It's because he got caught. It's the only reason. I've spoken to some other fighters about this, some other former champs and whatnot, about this use. This is more indicative of how serious he's taking his career, more so than it is the actual drug itself. So there is the silver lining of him being like, oh, all right, I'm off the weed now. I was addicted, quote unquote, addicted to marijuana. But that was what was the really the red flag for me, was when I came out. I was like, come on, dude, when your fights are. Like, you know that this stuff stays in your system. You know you need to be careful. You know you're being tested for it. You know you're fighting in a state that this is an issue. And if you don't know, you should find out. And you should be talking to your team about that. And I've been through this with fighters. So this is not a new thing. And that just shows you a little immaturity. And I think that's why this come, like you said, his young fighter doesn't have the status where he can just, walk this over. But in reality, he can, because the news minute is a minute. The taking away the fight is nonsense, and that sucks and hurts your career, especially with a good win. But so dealing with that, you got to see how that's going to affect him. But in terms of the whole mental health thing, that's just a buzzword, I believe, nowadays. Listen, every fighter fights because we have mental health issues. We're all nuts.
You gotta be crazy to get in that ring.
Dude, boxing is where boxing is usually our medicine. That's the reality of it. If you are not doing this,
well, he was
boxing is
explaining
where you go
why he
as
was
your
smoking.
Solace.
He was explaining why he was smoking weed. It was to help with anxiety and stuff like that.
Well, I get that, and that's why most fighters would utilize marijuana in between fights or during camp. And I've talked to guys about that. I've seen it firsthand. But yeah, no, I mean, I think for most guys, though, ultimately, boxing really is our medicine. And that's, the mental health issue isn't the anxiety surrounded by this. The mental health is, I'm not saying it's not an issue. I'm not saying it's not a real thing.
Right.
But that's what drives people to boxing in general.
Mm.
But I don't know. We live in a different era now. Like, a lot of times these fighters, especially these guys who are so young, who were brought up to be champions. Keyshawn Davis has been brought up to be a world champion. It wasn't like he was escaping anything. Utilizing boxing. So
Some
I
early
guess it is different
turmoil.
issues.
Some early turmoil for Keyshawn. Is still had a win against Albright, which is a nice win. But there's the sky is so high for him. There's so many,
Underrated win, because that kid's tough.
that people have such high hopes for Davis coming off of the Olympic coverage, and he's getting a nice push from ESPN. So yeah, he had himself a little turmoil early on in his career.
Oh,
It's,
he was a media darling early on, and now he's gotten a little bit of slap on the wrist.
right.
But listen, dude, this is gonna be in the rear view sooner than later. And that's the thing about boxing. It's a beautiful thing. Everyone remembers what you've done for me lately. What have you done for me lately? That's what boxing is.
Right.
Everyone remembers your last performance. He goes out there, he puts out a great performance against a former two division, multiple time world champion. Nobody cares about that.
Yeah, Pedraza is his opponent, and this is what's interesting. So clearly the biggest step up for Keyshawn Davis, two division world champion. Pedraza, he's been in there with a lot of big names. He's been there with Gervonta Davis, Beltrán, Lomachenko, Jose Cepeda, Jose Ramirez, Richard Comey, Arnold Barboza. That's the good of Pedraza's resume. The not so great, or what you would expect, the other side of it is this is his first fight at 135 since 2019. That's
Oh,
what really gives
my
me a lot
God.
of pause here for I can maybe see a stoppage here. That's the question I'm trying to figure out. Pedraza hasn't won a fight since June 2021. He's only been stopped once. That was by Gervonta Davis, which is now looking like a really good win for Gervonta Davis. Probably the best win of his career, all things considered.
I called that fight actually for the
Was that Vegas undercard?
no, it was in Barclays, I think. Yeah, it was in Barclays.
Yeah, that's when Tank won his first like legit world title. But Pedraza's last five opponents, 126-7-0, a 94% winning percentage. This guy is the ultimate test now, former world champion. Like this matchup, the first fight since 135, since 2019, is what. Because I'm thinking, all right, Ken. Obviously, I think Keyshawn Davis is going to win. He's a huge favorite. He's -800. Now you peel it back a little bit. Can Keyshawn Davis stop Pedraza? Only been stopped once by Tank. Getting up there in age, like we just said, hasn't won since 2019. 135. That's glaring.
Yeah, it's glaring to do it. How old is he?
I don't have his box rec up here. He's got to be in his mid-30s.
Yeah, going down in weight at that stage of your career and your life, not the most desirable scenario to be in.
Sniper. He is 35. No, how old is he? Why doesn't box rec put their age?
Or their birthdays, but
I don't know. Keep going.
regardless, mid-30s. He fought Barboza, and I think called that fight too. And he was just very undersized, so I'm not surprised of him thinking that moving down is a good idea. But moving down and then fighting a guy like Keyshawn Davis, it's tough. I still think Pedraza is
34.
savvy enough, and I don't think he's that long in the tooth or worn that he gets stopped. But I wouldn't be that surprised, but because of the weight. But Pedraza, man, his nickname is the sniper. He is a very tactical guy, smart guy, strong guy, confident guy. And he's got a lot of experience, a lot more than Keyshawn does in the pro ranks. So he's going to utilize every bit of that, and it's going to be a real test for Keyshawn. And I think this is a great fight for Keyshawn's development, because you're dealing with a guy who has so much professional experience, who's got so much savvy that if he can match wits with him and then out physical him, outlast him, out youth him, I think it's a really good move in his career moving forward. But yeah, Pedraza's no slouch, man. Yeah, he's creeping towards journeyman status for sure. I'm sorry, gatekeeper status,
Yeah.
not journeyman. He is, I would say, most people would argue he already is a gatekeeper. But I'll tell you this, from knowing him personally, from fighter meetings, he doesn't believe he is one. He's coming here to win.
Yeah, it goes contender, champ, no, prospect, contender, champion.
Champion.
Then what?
I mean,
Not gatekeeper.
usually
Just one
there's
more.
a champion, and then you go back into contender, looking to be a champion again, and then you keep getting knocked back down. So it's really
Contender.
forward and backward. You go
Yeah.
prospect, contender, champ, back to contender, then it's to gatekeeper, then it's to journeyman, then it's
Oof.
to pug.
Then it's to retire. Hopefully. We'll see. We'll see if Keyshawn
Down and
can
out pug.
down and out.
Pug stands for pugilist, people, by the way. It's not a
Gotcha.
derogatory
Not a
term. I'm not
dog. You're
calling
not
it. I'm not calling
calling
him a
Jose
dog, a dumb
Pedraza a
dog.
dog.
It's a pugilist. Yeah, it's a pugilist.
That's the next headline of boxing scene. Chris Algieri
Chris Algieri
calls
calls
Jose Pedraza a dog.
a
That wouldn't. I
dumb
don't know if that
dog,
would
a
make it.
beaten dog.
My parlay that I just sent over to DraftKings is bold because fortune favors the bold, Chris.
Yeah, go for it. Swing
Pedraza,
for them faces, fences, bro.
Keyshawn Davis by knockout, Teofimo by knockout, +646 odds. Could happen. Could also not happen.
You're gonna be watching these fights on edge, brother.
I'm gonna
You're
be
gonna be watching them
watching.
on edge.
I'm gonna be watching him live on our YouTube. Dan After Dark returns, and I'll put you on the spot. Will you join Dan After Dark?
I will, because I'm actually doing an immediate live fight show for Pro Box TV
Oh,
with
God.
Paulie Malignaggi and
Okay.
George Demetellus.
All right.
So I will be locked in. I'll be there. So
So
I'll
we
be
can
jumping in and
confirm
out
you
of
for
lives.
Dan After Dark.
Dan After Dark featuring CA.
Can I put you on the flyer?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, there we go. Thursday night.
Dude, when I was fighting in New York, promoters used to put me on flyers when I said I wanted to fight on their card. They're like, oh, just throw me
Wow.
right on
That's the
because
power of Chris
popularity.
Algieri,
Yeah,
flyer
people
guy.
tune in.
All right,
Flyer
Thursday night.
guy.
There you go. Thursday night. We will be live on our YouTube, Inside Boxing Live, on Twitter as well. Chris will join, give his thoughts for the main event, Teofimo Lopez versus Jermaine Ortiz. Remember to protect yourself at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. We're out. Goodbye.